Check one, check two. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's see what we got going on here. On this Monday, good morning. It's Bishop on Air. Shout out to the chat room live with us each and every weekday morning. Warsaw's in it. Christopher's in it. Jerry, Patrick, Ernie's Arms Accessories, Sergio, P-Max, Brian, David, Lil Cooker, Ed. Appreciate you guys being here. Daniel, good morning. Steve, Garrett. All right. Looking good, guys. East Tennessee in the house. Look at that. All right, stuff to tackle. Plenty, as always. Thanks for being with me. We got to talk about the latest out of Chicago with the elections still underway as they find thousands more ballots, especially a couple of major things that people are looking at. The Cook County State's Attorney, who's going to replace Kim Fox, and also the Bring Chicago Home Ordinance, which apparently Brandon Johnson doesn't like the fact that Trump supporters voted and didn't like the ballot initiative to raise the transfer tax on real estate over $1 million. But we talked with William Kelly earlier this morning. We'll share that conversation with you coming up here. But we've also got to talk about the latest measure filed at the Illinois State House dealing with non-citizens becoming police officers, and a conversation about a recent ruling from a federal judge earlier this month. That's full. All right, so blasting off here. All right, so plenty to tackle. We'll start off with talking about the measure at the Illinois State House that ultimately would prohibit non-citizens from becoming law enforcement. This after you had the legislature approve and the governor enact a law that says DACA recipients and those who have a work status in the United States, even if they're foreign nationals, they can become police officers. So stay tuned. That is coming up here next with Bishop on Air. We'll delve right into that and hear some of what happened on the House floor on Friday. But also, I chatted with another state representative off the floor, so that's coming up here. Stay tuned with Bishop on Air. Ago, we talked about a case that was out of the Northern District of Illinois concerning a non-citizen and the ability to carry firearms. And this was a case where a federal judge reviewed the documentation and ultimately said the non-citizen here, undocumented, could have a firearm for protection, and that laws prohibiting non-citizens to not have firearms is unconstitutional and an infringement of the Second Amendment. An interesting case. It's got people split on how they're reacting to this. Welcome in, Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop. Thanks for hanging out. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and hang out with us each and every weekday morning. Some fascinating conversation about this. Now, when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, there have been subsequent headlines across the country, even on Fox News, talking about this ruling, essentially saying that the individual in this case, an undocumented migrant in the United States illegally, can have a firearm. And let's just take a look at some of the language there. And this is from my report at thecentersquare.com. You had Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman rule in favor of Herberto Flores, a foreign national in the U.S. illegally, who is charged with unlawful use of a firearm. She said that the law violates the Second Amendment as applied in this one case. The court, she said, quote, finds that Flores's criminal record contained no improper use of a weapon, as well as the nonviolent circumstances of his arrest do not support a finding that he poses a risk to public safety such that he cannot be trusted to use a weapon responsibly and should be deprived of his Second Amendment right to bear arms in self-defense. The judge wrote, thus, this court finds as applied to Flores, the law is unconstitutional. When we talked about this, you know, obviously there was the initial reaction of people saying, oh my gosh, non-citizens can have firearms. But then you have the others on the other side who say, well, that essentially means that the laws in place in Illinois prohibiting people from getting a firearm, like the firearm owner ID card, a hurdle that law-abiding citizens have to jump through, is unconstitutional. And that was exactly something that State Representative Dan Calkins had to say on the House floor on Friday. He brought this very issue up, and let's hear what he had to say on Friday.
I want to thank Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman for establishing the legal precedent that you don't need a FOID card or a concealed carry license to own a gun in Illinois. That's right. The state of Illinois has refused to prosecute Mr. Flores for owning a pistol and carrying it on his person without a FOID card or a concealed carry permit. Now, it doesn't matter that he broke the law when illegally entering this country. It doesn't matter that he broke federal law that prohibits any non-citizen who is not legally authorized to be in the United States from possessing a firearm. So here's the questions, ladies and gentlemen. How did this case ever get to court? Where was the AG in prosecuting this criminal? Where is the state's attorney prosecuting this criminal? Where's the Moms Demand Action going after this criminal? Why shouldn't gun owners across the state cut up our FOID cards and be able to buy guns out of state with no worry? Again, I want to thank Judge Johnson Coleman for making the FOID card irrelevant and law enforcement in Illinois for finally admitting it cannot and will not enforce this law. After all, if a person who is not legally in this state can have his constitutional rights, so can the rest of us.
I think so. Again, you've got State Representative Dan Calkins making the statement on the House floor in the aftermath of that ruling that we talked about 2 weeks ago and has made a whole bunch of headlines. And an interesting argument, and whether or not we're going to see the FOID card challenge in federal court proceed forward, and whether or not this is going to be something used in that effort, we'll be tracking that, of course, as we've been tracking other litigation against firearm laws in the state of Illinois, including the Myers v. Kelly case, which is in the Southern District of Illinois, where you've got the plaintiffs challenging the state statute on a variety of grounds. And ultimately saying that prohibiting individuals from firearms is unconstitutional, including the use of the firearm owner ID card. And just looking at the docket in that case of Myers v. Kelly, you've got discovery that's going to be due by May 31st in that case. All right. So we're actually getting close to that. When we talked about this way back in October, May seemed like a far away. But now we're rapidly approaching that. So we'll be watching that case closely as well. So on the issue of the non-citizens and firearms and non-citizens who could become police, if you recall last year, we also had this measure that was House Bill 3751 dealt with police officers and who could become police officers. And just looking at some of the language, what it did was it said that, you know, an individual against whom immigration action has been deferred by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service under the Deferred Action of Childhood Arrivals, process is allowed to apply for the position of police officer or special policeman subject to specific requirements, and individuals who also have a work authorization in the country, even if they're foreign nationals, they can become police officers. But there was a little caveat in there. They would have to be able to carry firearms, per state and federal law. So did Judge Brown's announcement here earlier this month that a non-citizen can have a firearm? Is that something that's going to play into this, allowing for non-citizens to have a firearm? It's an interesting question and something that State Representative John Cabello, he subsequently filed on Friday, House Bill 5790, that essentially reverses that. It says it restores certain provisions in the county's code and the Illinois Municipal Code concerning citizenship of employees of the Sheriff's Department and police officer applicants to the form in which they existed before their amendments by Public Act 103-357, which we just took a look at. So is that measure going to go anywhere? Cabello supported the previous measure, and it was actually supported by the police union out of Chicago, because, I mean, they've got a shortage of police applicants. They need more police officers. That was the thinking. But a lot of backlash, especially after this judge's ruling in this case. But I talked with Cabello on Friday to talk a little bit about the bill that he filed and also his concerns and also how this measure, the firearm owner ID card could be null and void after this federal judge's ruling saying that, you know, non-citizenship status shouldn't be something prohibiting individuals from getting a FOID card. And when you look at what Illinois State Police told me on Friday, they confirm that in order to get a FOID card, one has to attest that they are not an alien who's unlawfully present in the United States. Again, they have to attest that they are not an alien who's unlawfully present in the United States. That's on the FOID card application. So back to the issue, though. Here's John Cabello, state representative, Republican from McKinsey Park, talking about the bill that he filed to reverse state statutes that allows for non-citizens to become police officers in the state of Illinois.
Wrong. At least in this case with an illegal. So what we decided to do after this radical judge decided to allow a non-citizen illegal immigrant to be able to possess a firearm, we got a little nervous about what she might do next. So we decided to file the bill to make sure that it can't happen. We cannot in any way, shape, or form have a non-citizen of the United States arrest citizens of the United States. The bill that was passed does not allow that. But with this radical judge, we got to make sure that we protect our citizens.
Other people looking at that measure from last year saw that it did allow for non-citizens to become police officers and possibly take the rights away from citizens. That was a big debate in the Illinois Senate before the measure passed. I remember clearly hearing State Senator Chapin Rose raise that very issue, concerned that you're going to see non-citizens essentially have the right to take the rights away from legal citizens in this state. But when it comes to the firearm issue, Cabello was sure to say that this is just one person affected by this one ruling out of the Northern District of Illinois.
Well, it only applies to this one person. And apparently, I'm not an attorney, but I've heard from several of them that this one person is now able to possess a weapon. But it opens up such a huge Pandora's box now. Did she just say that our FOID card is null and void? If that is the case, I'm happy with that. Does that mean that you don't need a concealed carry card any longer? I'm happy with that. But again, it comes back to the point of a police officer must be a citizen of the United States, because we cannot have non-citizens arresting citizens.
And more from the representative.
Because what we did is we codified federal law saying that if you're a non-citizen, you can't possess a weapon. Now, this judge totally circumvented that. Granted, for that one person, but we can't allow that to happen.
So essentially, he's saying that the law that he supported last year codified that non-citizens who aren't allowed to have firearms can't be police officers, right? Because in order to be a police officer, you have to have the ability to carry a firearm. And it said in there, you know, in the law that they passed last year, that a non-citizen who's got a work permit, who's able to carry a firearm by federal and state law, can become a police officer. Well, now he's filed a bill to essentially restore the previous provision of the law saying that only United States citizens can become police officers. But again, back to the issue of the Northern District federal judge saying that the non-citizens prohibition from having firearms is unconstitutional. Well, that, according to Republicans, as we heard from Dan Calkins and now from John Cabello and others, say that that's essentially saying that the FOID card is unconstitutional.
I think it's great because, you know, I think I was the first person ever to file the Void the FOID bill. But I think I started that back in 13 or 14. So I'm good with that part. But her ruling is going to be challenged by a higher court. And I firmly believe that they will say she's absolutely positively wrong, at least in this case with an illegal possessing a firearm.
Absolutely fascinating. Where do we go from here? We'll be watching it closely, whether or not this measure from State Representative John Cabello actually advances. We shall see. But that's on top of a whole host of other things in the Second Amendment space, including on Friday, a lot of concern raised about this, the Justice Department launching the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resources Center. The launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide the partners across the country valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who possess a threat to themselves or others. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. And you've got legislators in Washington, D.C. saying that this is some kind of national red flag type of law. So we'll see what happens in that space as well. It's Bishop on Air. Thanks for hanging out with me. What a ride. And we'll kind of take you on all the twists and turns as we go through it together. All right. So be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. And follow me on X, on Facebook, and right here on YouTube. We had primary elections last week, and still going to be another week and a day before we actually have final outcomes. And what are some of the big things? Well, at least up in Chicago, they're looking at a couple of major deals. The Bring Chicago Home tax increase that appears to have failed, but you also have a state's attorney's race for the Democratic primary where it's getting closer and closer. And what's fascinating is they apparently found 10,000 plus ballots. Welcome back to Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop. Thanks for hanging out. As you see on X, the Chicago Board of Elections just added 11,626 votes to the Cook County State's Attorney's election. Eileen Burke now leads Clayton Harris by just 2,015 votes. Clayton closed a margin by 2,756 votes with 62% of the votes counted. And what are we seeing? More ballots pop up here and there. It's something that makes people kind of question, why can other countries have an election on one day, count millions of ballots, and have the results that day? Where in the state of Illinois and other states across the country, you've got these flood of mail-in ballots, and they could be significant enough to sway elections. So I chatted with William Kelly. He is a reporter out of Chicago, and he talked about this and some other issues. Obviously that are important in Chicago, and one in particular being the discovery of these ballots. Here's William Kelly on X. I think it's important to know who Max Beaver is and what he believes in. He reviewed his X profile to talk about some of the things that have happened here, and especially the sentiments for law enforcement and the like, but also all of these ballots that seem to have appeared. Here's William Kelly in the conversation I had with him earlier this morning, talking about this very issue.
You know, I'm heading over to the Board of Elections, the Chicago Board of Elections, today. There is a real controversy here with the director of information, a PR guy named Max Beaver. Yes, that is his name, Max Beaver. He claims that he found 10,000 missing ballots. You can't make this stuff up, Greg. And this is as the election, the Cook County State's Attorney election, between O'Neill Burke and Clayton Harris III, Titans. These ballots were found in Chicago, where Clayton Harris is getting the majority of his votes, as opposed to the suburbs of Cook County, where Burke has been getting her votes. So this is definitely something to watch today. There's no doubt about it. Everyone that I talk to, from the man on the street to election officials, are highly suspicious of this, Greg. What can you say? You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to even speculate about it. Found 10,000 ballots? Why is a PR guy, how is it that a PR guy is finding missing ballots? How is that even part of his job? But I did a little digging, as you might imagine, and it turns out that this Max Beaver is a former ACLU, director. He holds very anti-police positions. He's advocated for defunding the police. He holds other extremist views against law enforcement. How is this the guy to be finding new ballots, Greg?
So with the election in Cook County, with the state's attorney's race, now this is just the Democratic primary, right? You got the November 5th election, which will pit whoever wins that that election, either Eileen O'Burt or Clayton Harris. They'll go off and face a Republican, Bob Fioretti, who was unchallenged in the Republican primary for Cook County State's Attorney. So that's going to be an interesting race to watch. But with the prospect of tens of thousands of ballots that are still floating around and how they could impact a race like this, especially with a margin like 10,000 or 2,000 votes in between, if they have another flood of ballots come in within the next week, what are those ballots going to do to that race? So some interesting things there, especially, again, when you look at just some of the totals that were released on Sunday with, 11,626 votes that were, mailed in. And then you see that the split is Clayton getting 62% of those votes, but Burke still in the lead, but by a margin here. Not the only thing that Chicagoans are having to deal with. William Kelly also reporting about the measles outbreak, where a couple of weeks ago you had the story about measles in one case, two cases, four cases, and then it started growing in these migrant shelters. You had the governor say that these migrants refused vaccination, but then the city of Chicago and the public health departments went out and tried to get education about the measles vaccine. And then you have now another story about Will County having a measles case. So this is clearly something that's concerning to a lot of people in and beyond Chicago.
Well, you see, this is another one, Greg. It breaks my heart because on so many different levels. But in addition to the millions of dollars, the completely unaccounted for millions of dollars that are being spent on this migrant crisis, we also have now a migrant measles crisis. And here's the thing. As I've tried to tell people who constantly tell me that Chicago gets what it deserves, is that what happens in Chicago very rarely stays in Chicago, and that people really should care about what happens in Chicago for that reason. And the measles, believe it or not, are the latest example of this, Greg. Now we have the migrant measles crisis is now spreading to Chicago suburbs. I should say neighboring counties. There are measles cases in Lake County and now in Will County that are directly tied to the migrant measles crisis in Chicago, Greg.
So, William Kelly, again, on top of that as well, with just a continued concern about the migrant crisis and the costs that it's incurring on taxpayers, but also the humanitarian issues and the healthcare issues and the overall concern of public safety. But public safety elsewhere, top of mind. When I was chatting with William Kelly this morning, he was on the run heading to a crime scene.
Well, this is the one that strikes close to home. Literally, I'm walking to a stabbing on the CTA, a CTA platform on State Street. A 20-year-old man was standing on a CTA platform, and a suspect walked over to take his property, and it resulted in a stabbing. But this is not the only stabbing on the CTA. Okay. We have a video, and the police are asking for the public's help. Okay, the public is now involved in trying to track down suspects. There was another robbery, four suspects on another CTA in another CTA robbery on Chicago's North Side, you know, it's not exactly summer yet, Greg. But we're seeing the signs of summer. Okay, we're seeing the stabbings and the robberies on the CTA. We're seeing these horrible stories of women walking alone on their way to work. In some cases, grandmothers being robbed by three, four, five men jumping out of a car dressed all in black with masks on, hitting them in the head with baseball bats, taking their purses. This is, this is why I think a lot of people are very angry about what's happening in the state's attorney's race. They thought, the state's attorney's race is a race between O'Neill Burke and Clayton Harris III. And a lot of people feel that, the outcome of this race is going to determine whether or not we have a continuation of the policies of Kim Fox, which have many people in the city of Chicago, the county of Cook, consider to be responsible, directly responsible, for out of control violent crime in the streets of Chicago. And now the migrant crisis is also devolving into a violent crime crisis. I see with my own eyes walking down the street migrants out in front of literally every store begging for money. They don't have money. Mayor Johnson says he's going to evict them from shelters, now add measles into the mix. The city of Chicago is really looking more and more like a no-go zone leading up to the DNC. So, Greg, it hurts as a lifelong Chicagoan and someone who loves Chicago, but as a reporter, listening to people on the street telling me that they just don't feel safe in Chicago anymore, Greg.
Thanks again to William Kelly for joining me earlier this morning and sharing with you some of the things he's reporting on out of the Windy City, and clearly still a lot of things that are expected to pop from the migrant issue to the crime issue and even to the election issue. Our election was last week, but still they're counting votes, all across the state, quite frankly, because of the proliferation of mail-in voting, and they have to allow for, up to 2 weeks to count those votes. And that two-week mark being not tomorrow, but next Tuesday. So we'll have to be talking about the election for at least another week. We'll see what kind of numbers come in. All right, guys, have yourselves a wonderful rest of the day. Appreciate you being here. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. It is Bishop on Air. Anywhere, just search Bishop on Air. All right, guys, I think I had just two drops. That's it. Not bad. But again, thankfully we record locally, so you can catch those segments on the flip side. Really do appreciate you guys being here each and every weekday morning. And don't forget, go and subscribe to Illinois in Focus. All right, Illinois in Focus on all your podcast servers. Just search Illinois in Focus and subscribe to the latest weekly breakdown of what's going on in and around the state of Illinois. All right, Illinois in Focus, a product of America's Talking Network and the Center Square. So if you don't follow the Center Square, be sure to head to thecentersquare.com, where you can see some of the latest headlines that you need to know about. Everything from frustration over not being able to have ethics reforms go through the state house, how your tax dollars may be used to subsidize free meals at all schools, and so much more. All right, so go check that out, thecentersquare.com. Guys, appreciate you being here each and every weekday morning. We'll be back at it tomorrow. And always, you can get a hold of me. Just email me, bishoponair@gmail.com. bishoponair@gmail.com.